Would you pray with me? Loving God, speak to us your word of power and grace. May it bear fruit in our hearts today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, I had this pastor. I knew this pastor when I was a kid who he was a good preacher, but he did this thing that just drove me crazy. Okay? He would go to preach one Sunday, and he would say to us, you know, I had my sermon ready. I was prepared. I had my notes. But then the Holy Spirit led me somewhere else and led me to say something else this morning. Every time I heard that, I was like, no way. Really? I think he just didn't prepare very well for the sermon. I don't know that he made the notes and he said, I don't know. I was very hesitant. He preached very well. And he could preach long sermons. He always said only 5 minutes or something like that. He preached longer than that. But he would do that often, where he would be like, I had my sermon ready, I was ready to go, but then the Spirit led me somewhere else. And I just didn't like that for some reason. Well, you're not going to guess what happened. Just recently. I thought I knew where the sermon was going this morning. I had my notes. I was ready to go. But then the Spirit moved me somewhere else. And it's kind of interesting when that happens. It's kind of interesting. So I have some notes. I'm kind of ready, but we're in this together. All right? We'll be led by the Spirit today. I want us to take a look at the scripture that we just read. And Paul wrote this letter. It's a contested letter. So some people say maybe it wasn't Paul who wrote this. That's not relevant for our message today. I think what's relevant today is the message that's written. And I think we can get something from it. Let's go back to the text. If the author writes, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. First of all, let me tell you, that is such a nice thing to say. Amen? I have heard of your faith. I have heard of the things that you are doing. I've heard of your love. Your faith and your love are noticeable. People are talking about it. I cannot tell you. I wish people would talk about my faith. I wish people would talk about my love, that it was noteworthy enough that somebody would say, you know what this pastor did or said? Pretty important. And Paul talks to the Ephesians this way. By saying, I've heard of your faith, and I pray for you. The second thing that he says is even nicer, I think, which is, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. I always feel thankful when people approach me and say that. And they say, you know, Pastor, I've been praying for you. You know what my usual answer is to that? Good. I need all the prayer I can get. And I do. I appreciate it. Because I know that someone is out there thinking about me, praying for me. And these are usually the people who are not just praying for you, but will be there for you, listening to you, kind of supporting you, and being the church for you. Are you with me? So I appreciate that. And I want to return the favor as well and tell people, you know what? I want to pray for you. How can I pray for you today? Or I can say, I've been praying for you. And I think Paul was very intentional in his praying, and I think that's a lesson that I have to learn as well. Because as I read this passage, I know that he was praying for specific things for this community. We know what Paul was praying for. Amen? We know what he had in his mind regarding the Ephesians. What is Paul praying for? He's praying that they may have wisdom. And with wisdom that they may have hope. Hope for what? The immeasurable greatness of God's power, which is at work in Jesus Christ. That is such an important prayer. It was important then, and it is important now. It is important today. Can you say amen? Prayer for wisdom, prayer for hope, prayer for power. I would like for us to pray today for these three things. I would like for us to commit ourselves to these three things as we move forward, as we aim to be the church that God is calling us to be. Wisdom, hope, and power. Now, I've talked about wisdom before, and I've differentiated between wisdom and knowledge. It's so interesting to me that we live in a time in history when we have so much access to information. We have experts for everything. You just have to go online and you'll find an expert on something. God knows I've known a lot of people who are experts in theology and the Bible online. Never been to seminary, but they know. They know a lot more than I do, you know? Everybody's an expert these days. We have such we have access to so much information and knowledge, but friends, I believe that today, unfortunately, wisdom is in short supply. Because there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Amen? We have knowledge, we have facts, we have things that we have here, but we don't find wisdom in information. We find wisdom in how we live our lives. We find wisdom in how we relate to each other. We find wisdom in how we care for each other. So much information. One of my favorite scenes, I don't know if you've seen the movie War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise. And he's playing catch with his son, I believe. And his daughter is there, and he tells him, you know, don't you know that I know everything? Between me and my brother, he says, between me and my brother, we know everything. And his daughter asks him, oh yeah, well, what's the capital of Australia? He says, well, that's one my brother knows. Yeah, experts. Information. We go online and we find information very easily at the palm of our hands every day, 24/7. More information than we know what to do with. The thing, however, is information hasn't brought us together. Information hasn't brought communities together. We don't build communities. We don't work for peace. We don't work for justice with just information at our hands, do we? We require wisdom and compassion. It's not just here, but it's in the way we live our lives. That's where wisdom is found. Not just information, not just the information that we have. With wisdom. And I pray and hope for a wise church. I hope you'll pray with me as well. And I pray for hope. I pray for hope as well. Hope doesn't mean that things will be the way that I want them to be. Hope doesn't mean that in the end I will get what I want. Hope is something different. Hope means relying on God, whatever tomorrow will be. At least that's how Paul uses the term. Hope is trusting and living and holding on to God, even in the times of adversity, especially in times of adversity. And I gotta tell you, friends, it's hard to be hopeful these days as well. At least for me. It's easy for me to find despair when I turn on the TV. Because the news is not super inspiring, I have to say. I hear about war, division, conflict, and it's easy for me to get discouraged. Yet I read this passage and I'm encouraged to have hope. Not hope in the things that I can do, but hope in the things that God can do through me and through other people. God is not done with us just yet. Amen? Amen? God is not done with us just yet. And in a world that is being harmed by war and violence, we need to have hope that will bring peace. Peace to all people. That's my prayer. So I pray for wisdom and I pray for hope. But I also pray that we as a church may be aware of God's power today and the way that God's power is active in our world. We had a pretty interesting conversation about power just before the service. We talked about just there being different kinds of power. We mentioned a few. One of them being, coercive power, and the other being persuasive power. Do we know what the difference is between those two? Coercive power is when you force, when you do something by force. There have been times when I tell Michaela, my 10-year-old daughter, you know, you have to do this, do as I say. Sometimes I'll say, don't do as I do, do as I say. Because that's what I say, what I'm telling you to do. There's power in that. And sometimes when I do that, I feel that power and that responsibility. But there's a different kind of power. When I engage with my daughter in conversation, when I ask her questions, when I empower her to make choices, and make her a part of the process. Now I know that if I tell her, do this, do as I say, that's only going to take her so far. But if I engage with her in conversation and I trust her, as she grows into an individual, she may not make the decisions that I would hope, but I have to trust that she made those decisions for herself. That will be more beneficial to her life. I believe God's power is persuasive power. I don't believe God is coercive when it comes to the world. I don't think God will twist our arm to do what God wants us to do. I believe God challenges us and moves us and guides us. Yes, He's always there for us, hoping we'll make the right decision. But He trusts in us. He gives us that ability to decide and to act for ourselves. Some of the words in these passages are challenging for me. Authority, power, dominion. Like I said, particularly in our time, when war is such a constant, it seems, in our world. We've come to face, to understand what military power can do. I turn on the news and I see the destruction, the broken families, the pain and the suffering. But I also find a different kind of power in the midst of all that. That is different, but it's also necessary. I find this power when the stories are elevated, or of people who are working for peace, people who are working for reconciliation, people who are affirming life in the midst of death, people who are affirming peace in the midst of war. These people are out there. and they're working. Now, sometimes their voices get lost in the noise of military power. But the people who work to build these bridges, the people who work for peace, have such an important work, such an important job in our world today. And they're blessed. Can you say amen? We read this in scripture. Blessed are the peacemakers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I didn't say this, by the way. Blessed are the peacemakers. There is power in that. There is power. Now, it's subtle power. It's not loud power. But it's not a power that destroys. It's a power that builds. A power that encourages. A power that sees the potential in people. I'm challenged by the words in the passage that we just read. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You see, military power brings death and destruction and desolation. God power brings life in the midst of death. I want to participate in that. I want to participate in building those bridges, in making peace. That is the kind of power that I want to experience. That is the kind of power that the world needs today. And I pray for wisdom so that our leaders will have wisdom. Not to take sides, to maintain that us versus them mentality, but to affirm life and resurrection. I pray for hope, for something new. I don't know what the future will look like. I don't know what the resolution is for the conflict in the Middle East, but friends, I pray for peace, and I hope that God will do something that I can't even imagine at this point. Peace for all people. Because God loves all people. Amen?
Amen.
Because in the eyes of God, the life of a Palestinian child is just as valuable as the life of an Israeli child.
Amen.
And so we have to not just affirm that as a fact or as information, but affirm that through our life, through the way we live and act. So I continue to pray. As John Wesley said, prayer is where the action is. I continue to pray for wisdom and for hope, that the power of God, this subversive, life-giving, peacemaking power will be present in our world today against all odds. In the face of war, in the face of destruction, may the power of peace, may the power of love be greater than the love for power. That is my prayer. And I want to ask John to kind of help me out here. I gave you a little piece of paper with, and I hope you'll sing with me. It just feels like the right way to end this sermon with a bit of a prayer. You've probably heard this song before. This is a faith statement.
Gonna lay down my shoulders.
sing together.
Down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside, I lay down my sword to you. Down by the riverside, when the money for no more.
Say it together.
I ain't gonna say more no more, ain't gonna say more no more.
Let us live accordingly. Pray with me. Loving God, we just thank you so much for your challenge today. And when sometimes we get up and it feels like there's so little that we can do, we just want to trust in you. We want to pray and hope and live for peace, for joy, for reconciliation. We want to build those bridges, and we want to affirm life and resurrection in the midst of despair. We want to affirm life. We want to affirm your power. Not coercive power. Not the kind of power that kind of twists our arm to do something. But the kind of power that empowers us to be the church that you are calling us to be at this time, in this place. Help us be that church. Help us be that church. And so it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.